This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world, and we are back where we're supposed to be.
Almost.
Alan Han, Bart Scott. But you know what sucks? It was nice being in the same studio with you for a couple of days.
Man,
I got to admit that.
Beautiful blue eyes, man.
It was nice being in the same place. I was a little jelly today, you hanging out with Zubin and Jay Will. You know, you get, you know.
Oh, you could have got up at 4 o'clock if you wanted to.
Bigfoot me there. I understand.
You could have got up at 4 o'clock if you wanted to.
That is not happening. And I promise you, even at 4 a.m., it'd probably still take me 2 hours to get into the city. Man, forget about it. What pandemic? Everybody's back out on the roads, no question about it. But still, good that we're back in our place. We appreciate our listeners for kind of being patient with us because, you know, we've done the L2R2 throughout this whole year.
Yeah, man.
When it comes to going from 1 to 3 to 11 to 1, then all of a sudden we disappear for a while, go national as a fill-in for a bit, just helping out as we do.
Just Google it.
And then
team players. We are team players. I can't see you anymore because I have a bad signal, so I'm losing your,
can't
your
even
beautiful
look
face.
At you now. See,
it's okay. I'm gonna try a hotspot.
Are you slipping?
Should I tell people where they can get in because we got a fun show today? Should I tell them?
We have a fun show, and we also because we haven't talked to our people in a couple of days. I think we got to go buffet, don't we? Today
we got to go full Golden Corral Old Country Buffet.
I like that. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number, and if you can't get through, Bart, how else can they get us?
They can get us. If they can't get us on the 1-800-919-3776, then guess what? They can get us at the Bart and Han on the tweet. Then if they can't get us on the tweet, guess what? They can get us on Bart Han on the Grizzam DM Allen exclusively.
No.
And if they can't get us there, I know, Bill, you've been picking scabs all day. I had to go at you a little early in the show.
Dang,
but I know you hate the Jets, but go ahead and tell them anyway, Bill, where they can get us.
Instant chat or whatever it is.
Thank you, Bill.
You did, though. You opened up a can of whoop-ass on him today on KJZ. My word. I mean,
listen,
you've been on him,
too.
You've been on him. Like, it's a week now you've been on him. First you're saying that Bill, the GM, should be fired. Now you're saying that this is it for him. Well, we got a lot to get to on that. And
when
did I say something wrong?
Like, when did I say something wrong? It makes sense. What I'm saying is in an alternate universe, it is a path that could be taken. I'm just saying. They don't pay me and you the big cheese on the taco to give the take that everybody else takes. We're not reading other people's cliff notes. We in our own lane. We just telling you it could happen. So then when it happens, don't at me later and give me my credit. Or give us our credit, because me and you, we like one and the same. I'm the left hand, you the right hand. Shake and bake.
That's right. And you know what, too? You talk about credit. You say a lot of things that piss people off, and then like a week later, everybody says it. And it's like, yeah, Bart said that last week. And you were all mad at him. Now you all agree.
Exactly, but so they never say, sorry, Bart.
It is what it is, man. I don't care. I'm just, like, to me, you just say what you see, right? And we've got headlines for you. Let me give you some headlines of what the show's going to be about today. We did play it for you yesterday, but we never really had a chance to break it down. And so we'll go back to the Steve Cohen press conference, and I'll be honest with you. Hung a banner, Met fans. You hung a banner. I got to take you to task for that one. Chris Paul could be on the move, and it's not to the East. But it's still a very interesting team, so we'll discuss that. Houston may have a problem, and the Knicks might have an answer. Oh, yeah. We have something to talk about on that front. You like that little
tease?
We call that
a cliffhanger.
See, when we do national, you learn teases. You learn to set it up a little bit. So, again, there's a lot here to get into, a lot here to dive into. We'll have a Jets guest, we think. Jay Will going to join us at noon, and we have a lot to break down with him. The Knicks facility closed because of COVID. No players are there. That's all right. Alex Cora back with the Red Sox, and Jeff Lunau.
Stop. We got all on that in 2 hours?
There's so much.
So we going commercial free. You saying we going commercial free? Because I don't know how we're going to fit all that in there.
For 2 hours. That's all I got because we can't go deep into anything because it's only 2 hours. All right. So, Bart, let's go back to Steve Cohen yesterday. And I'm just going to say it. How low could the bar possibly be? How low could it possibly be for a new owner to step in and have a press conference like he did where he just checked all the boxes? It was audio porn for Mets fans. That's what it was. It's exactly what you do. What do they want? What do they need? I'm going to give them what they want.
That's
what you say all the time, right? It's like, I got to give them what they want. Well, that's what Cohen did. He walked into the club knowing he was walking into a place where it was like all the sailors came in from shore and they haven't seen a female for months. And he just walked in just going, hello, boys. Like, you just give them what they want.
You know,
and that's
got
what
that
he
treat.
Did. And
you
know, the fans were just giddy about it. Giddy. And he didn't really do anything or say anything. He just did the obvious, which, God bless him, he gets it, and not many owners do.
Already ahead of the game, right? And I was going, because remember when you go in there, you got that treat, and you got your dog, you got his attention,
exactly.
And then you just get that treat.
Paul,
here you go, Paul.
Hell yeah.
Lay down, roll over. Here you go, and he fed it right to you. But guess what he did? The smart. Let me tell you, I can tell that this man plays chess, not checkers. No wonder he's been so successful in all his business ventures. He flew the weather kite where? On the tweet. He flew the weather kite.
You're absolutely right.
So he knew exactly what people, he knew exactly what they wanted to hear. He did his research, his opposition research earlier in the week when he flew out the weather kite, and he said, hey, what do you guys want? Tell me what you guys think. And then he fed it to him. He fed it to him, slow fed it to him too. He teased him with it. And right now, man, he's the number one guy in the world. All he has to do is take the same energy and spend a little money, show some progress. He already gave, you know, people their bread, right? Everybody that needed to be fed that's not part of the baseball, they got what they needed to get.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's happy. So now when I want to develop around here, I need these permits ASAP. And I'm going to create jobs, and I'm going to give you guys a winner. And listen, we're going to be the conversation. We're going to be on the back pages. But much like when the Jets became the back pages, you have to sustain it because you have to fulfill your prophecy. You have to fulfill and deliver on your promise. And that promise is that he said that he's going to get to a world title, and he's going to build it organically. He's going to spend money. He said everything that you were supposed to say. Now that's the easy part.
The hard part is actually doing it. Exactly. It's easy to talk about it, but he did the easy thing. And I'll tell you what, not many owners will do the easy thing. They won't. Hal Steinbrenner, to his credit, he doesn't talk a lot, but when you hear him on the K Show, he talks to the fans. You hear his passion, you hear his frustration, you hear it all. Now, he has a corporate side to him where he's going to be careful, and Cohen's going to have to get there eventually. Again, this is easy because he's coming in basically saying, I'm here to clean up this mess by these guys who came before me. That's essentially what he did there. I'm here to clean this thing up because I have a vision. I never got to, you know, he basically equated being a minority owner to being a season ticket holder. Like, yeah, I have no power. I couldn't do anything. But
he's sitting in the corner raising his hand like, hey.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen enough to know what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do what I want to do now. Let's see if it works. That's great.
This,
but Met fans, please do me a favor. Don't hang a banner. You know, this is not, like, press conference championships don't count.
Right.
All you had was, now you've got a guy who gets it. Let's go there. He gets it. Now let's see if he really can put it together, put a plan to practice, and make it work. And by the way, let me be the dude that dumps the cold water on this for a minute. Understand this. The Dodgers had an ownership change in 2012. And they had a bad owner before that in Frank McCourt. Terrible owner. And they were a middling team as well. They were second place, third place, 80 wins. Like, you know, they were right there. And the Guggenheim group comes in, and they've got a lot of good people, a couple of good baseball people. I know one of them pretty well. And they took over. 8 years later, they finally win a World Series. 8 years. Now, were they very good, very competitive for many of those years? Yeah, they were. A very competitive team. They got to a couple of World Series as well, couldn't win the big game. But the problem is it's 8 years. When you tell me 3 to 5, you're setting yourself up. This could take time. This could happen in 2 years. Anything could happen. It all depends on how guys develop and how well you spend the money. The idea that you can't buy a championship also, that's ridiculous. Money doesn't buy championships. It absolutely does.
Tell the Dodgers.
It absolutely does. So you have to also understand that I now need to see what moves you're going to make. This lineup has a ton of holes on them. Ton of holes. But don't hang a banner for your press conference championship. What you do is celebrate the fact that you've got now somebody that has the money and has the passion to now get this franchise where it needs to be. And that's what you want. That's the best part. But now, put it to practice, put it to work. And understand that it's not an overnight thing. But you know what? I will say this. Welcome back to baseball, Mets fans.
Yes.
You're back in the league.
The national conversation, baby. We ain't going to the ATM no more. We ain't got no limit. We going to the vault. Come on with those people, Boris. And listen, this is what I tell you, man. Listen, just the fact that, you know, the energy around here, this is what people have been waiting for. I mean, they always say, hey, tell the Johnsons to sell, tell the Wilpon. Well, guess what? You got the owner that you want. So listen, don't complain. Don't go off the bandwagon fast. It's not going to be it may be smooth, it may not. But understand that the guy's going to put things in place. And how frustrated do you think that he was knowing that, you know, they had a Commodore 64 in the back, and he was a guy who made all his money with analytics. And even though he was a minority owner, he still had access to some of the best analytical people in the world, and he could have gave the Wilpons that if they would have asked for it, or right. Maybe gave him a little bit of more of the ownership group. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine how frustrated he was sitting in the back knowing that he had, you know, a key component that could really help them take it to the next level, and they never wanted to tap in because they were so arrogant about it being about them that they didn't want to have to share the credit with a minority owner who it could have been a tremendous asset to them. You know how frustrating that has to be? Like, hey, I can help you. I can help. No.
But, Bart,
sit in the corner, be quiet.
I'm going to tell you what, though. The hardest thing for anybody to do, especially a new leader, like, I know he's not an owner, but Leon Rose is trying to do the same thing with the Knicks. Yeah. Not as an owner, but he's pretty much at that ownership level. I mean, he's at the very top of the organization, and he's trying to do the same thing. It's so hard to clean the stink out of a franchise that has had it for so many years, where everyone just expects it. They expect you to operate a certain way. They expect you to always kind of fall back to that person you were. You know, like when they say, like, you know, when you come out of the neighborhood and they say, you know, you can come out of the neighborhood, but the neighborhood can't come out of you.
Yep.
You know, something wherever you're from, like, it just sort of like you always will go back. You'll resort to who you really are. And that's how you just wait for it. Oh, they're going to do something stupid. They always do. Oh, something bad's going to happen because it always does.
Yep.
That's what you wait for. And so what Cohen has to do is fumigate that place.
Yep.
And it's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. It does take time. And people are waiting for that stuff to happen. But like, here's an example, and I know you're going to love this. You remember Marcus Stroman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus Stroman was like now all of a sudden, you know, pleading his case to Yankees fans about how he'd be a great fit with the Yankees. Marcus Stroman then tweeted yesterday. My man Mace sent me this. Thank you, Mace. Appreciate you. Karate man. He said, after watching the presser, I'm beyond excited to play for you, sir.
Wow.
I could feel the excitement and passion you're going to bring daily. Let's go be great.
We in three different places.
And he added them, too.
We in three different places. Please, wherever you are, Anthony, I can't see you. I'm in this little box. I feel like the walls closing in. I feel like I'm in a panic room. Give him the gas face.
Yes.
That's give him the gas face. Are you kidding me?
Stroh's like, Stroh's all over the place. You know what Stroh is right now? I love him because he's from Long Island. This is Stroh. Stroh's the guy that was like in a relationship that he wasn't really thrilled about. And then he saw some other chick. He's like, hey, baby, what's up? And then all of a sudden his girl come around and all of a sudden maybe she's got like she won the lottery, right? And now he's all like, hey, baby. We good, right? We good? Like, the other chick, she's going like, wait a minute, weren't you just talking to me? No, I gotta go.
Or he's like you in college, right? You go in there, you talking to every chick in there, then you upgrade, and then the first chick that you talk to because the other chicks went home with somebody else, and you come back there, and she's like, mm-mm.
Right, exactly.
Oh, now you want to come back to me. Nah, what about Felicia? What about Kim? What about Tanya? Nah. So I'm the consolation prize? Nah.
Oh, my God.
I'm good. We good.
I love it, Stroh. You're the best.
Did it just flash that Strowman took the qualifying offer? I swear I just saw something. Like I told you, I'm in a panic room, man. I'm getting stuff so late. I thought I just saw he took the qualifying
offer.
That
is today. You're right. That is today.
I think he just took it, man. It just went on a little bleacher.
Did it really? I got to go find that now because I'm busy.
I'm busy. Stuck in the panic room, man.
What we do also have to keep in mind, obviously, today being November 11th.
Yeah. Appreciate you, Pops.
Okay, he is accepting.
Can't wait.
Tim Healy reporting that he does accept. So.
See, I didn't know if that was from
Yankees fans, never mind. I'm going to stay with my girl. I'm good.
I didn't know if this was from yesterday because,
it was
I tell you.
Baby.
Like I try to tell everybody, I am literally in a closet, you know what I'm saying, over at ESPN Studios. So yes. I don't know, when stuff come in, I don't know if it's text messages from yesterday, today, because it's the reception over here is tough.
To all the sunlight.
Is it really that bad?
You can see me, right? You looking at me, right? Look at this. I'm touching both sides of the wall right now. My arms aren't even fully extended.
I just saw that. Yeah, I can't see you though because it's on pause. You must be texting somebody while you're doing the show.
Are you running
like one of your seven businesses in the midst of this segment right now?
No, you know I had to do JKZ. Is it JKZ?
I
don't know. So I'm over here in the closet, man. Like for real, they say, "Hey man, you go in the booth."
Nobody puts Bart in the closet.
I'm trying to get them to pump oxygen into the room because I'm scared, man. I'm starting to get claustrophobic. Like I'm taking an MRI.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls here. Let's go with Val in the Bronx. Start us off, Val.
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm trying to catch my breath. That last, y'all got me going gas face and all, y'all. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a couple of points I want to make, and one of them has to do with the Knicks. But before I get into that, I'm going to go with the Mets first. I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, here we go.
And I find it interesting, okay? I'm one of those that gets this across the table from the others in my family that are Mets fans. Yankees buy this. We buy mistakes. We buy this. We buy the other. We buy up the league. We buy championships. It's funny how now when Mets fans feel like they got money, all of a sudden that kind of philosophy is all good. And the second point I want to make, and Alan, I'm very interested to get your opinion on this one. Because the one thing out of it that, as a Knicks fan, makes me feel a little bit hopeful is that for years I've been part of the people that are saying, maybe it's time to move past Dolan. But you can't move past the owner. We all know that it's he owns the team. It's his. Unless he decides to move on,
that's right.
What do you do? But we're actually seeing this happen with the Mets. And this is an example of possibly what you being on the inside, Alan. If you know anything, if there's a minority owner or something like that that's connected to the Knicks, that can hopefully change our situation, man. And Mets fans, just be careful.
There's no Steve Cohen in that situation.
Rose is changing your situation. Yeah,
it's going to have to go that way. And I knew a lot of Knicks fans would go here because if it's not going to be about James Dolan, it's going to be about Woody Johnson, right? I mean, if you think about fans that have frustrations with their owners, I mean, those are the guys that people talk about. The Wilpons were on that list as well. And I'll tell you what I would do is say, take an example. I mean, what Steve Cohen did was he went out to the bleachers and sat with the Seven Line Army. That's literally what he did. Now, I know Brody tried that, right? He was trying to connect as well, but this guy actually sat in the stands. He went to games. He had popcorn. He had Cracker Jacks, right? He watched games. He scored games. Like, he can relate. There's something about that that is compelling from an ownership standpoint. It makes your customer feel like, this guy gets me. I've always said this, Bart. When you're an owner and you take for granted your diehards because, they'll always be here. We don't have to really sell them. We've got to buy. We've got to sell to other people.
Your day one.
But I've always said, right, your day ones, your P1s, like Kay always says. But those guys, to me, those are the ones that if you treat them so well that they are fiercely loyal to you, even through the worst of times, you know what happens? You start to become that club that people want to get into and they don't even know why. Man, everybody's just so happy there. Well, I want to be part of that. You know what I mean? Like when you see the loyal fans treated like gold, and I mean gold, you become from the outside someone that goes, man, they love that team. They're so happy with that team. That's something I want to be part of, and it draws people in. So instead of taking them for granted, man, they'll always be here, these suckers. Instead of doing that, You take care of your diehards, and you'll be amazed how that permeates. And all of a sudden, it resonates. And then you'll see the base grow, your customer base grow. That's the, to me, that's the secret sauce of being an owner, especially in New York.
Facts. Again, I'm with you when you're right. You know I'm with you when you're right.
That's what you got. Facts.
Really?
They wore you out on KJZ, didn't they?
No, man. I'm jacked up on my dude, man.
I give you a passionate take, and you go, fact.
Because, listen, I was trying to work on my, give him high, give him low. You know what I'm saying? I was just high, just stepping, just talking about him in the panic room, and he said he was laughing. Then I was like, let me break it down. Woo-saw, because I knew he was about to go to our first break. I want the guys to get on the line. This is the buffet. We starting with Cohen, but we got a lot more to serve for you, baby. That's just the appetizer, baby. We ain't even got to the entree yet, and we going back for seconds.
And we got better? Calls.
Was that better?
A little bit better.
All right, my bad. I can step it up. Footprint, you carried me that whole first segment. Appreciate you, buddy.
I got to have a talk with those guys in the morning show. You woke up early. You're a little tired. I'm going to need you to get I need you to get.
Listen, I got bubbles on my damn screen.
I need you to get some Mountain Dew or a little Frappuccino, something.
Well, I'm over here. They got money over here.
You got that beautiful medallion on again.
It's a CMOS. I'm looking at.
What's the shirt, by the way? I couldn't see the shirt this morning on TV. What is the shirt?
This is a baby Bambi.
And what's it say?
The porcelain Bambi. What does it say right here? It says,
what are you doing?
They do not love that they do not show there's love. I don't know, man. It's one of those weird things. It's like the ape thing I got the
album. Really?
With the unicorn horn coming through.
Now, so it's like phrasing in New Jersey, right? Mm-hmm. Is that official or is there a date for that? Because I have a feeling you might have broken a
partake. Wall. Listen, I told you like when I went to Amsterdam, it had no effect. I think I'm immune.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. We'll have to test that theory. Road trip. So, Bart, as we're waiting for the Jets guest, and we'll set up for that in a moment, and it's Harvey Lange, who is there? Okay, so he's here with us right now. Perfect timing as we bring him right in. And, Harvey, let me first congratulate you on a career night on Monday Night Football with 10 tackles, 9 solo, and I'm telling you, you jumped off the page, man. Like, we were in our group chat. All of us are Jets guys, and we're group chat on the show, and we're all going, like, who is this guy? Like he's everywhere. He's all over the place. So you jumped off the page. For you, I know it was a loss, but it's on Monday night, a big stage. Probably a long time coming for you. It probably felt great to have, for you personally, to have a game like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, though, it's not a win. So that's the number one thing we're looking for and striving for, just to get a win and to keep on winning and still the closer to win. But to be out there with the boys and, Monday Night Football, it doesn't get better than that. Just go out there and play and know that you're the only game on. Growing up in football, it's been from here to play on nights.
I mean, I understand you have to be modest, but I don't have to be modest so I can be your hype man for you. Let me tell you, man, those dreads you have look like streamers. That's how fast you were moving, man. You were playing like your hair was on fire. You were playing like a man that was going to take advantage of the opportunity that you got. We know no C.J. Mosley. We know Avery Williams moved on. Blake Cashman's injured. Listen, I've been here. That's how I got my start. My first start was on Monday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers after Ray Lewis blew his hamstring out. That performance, my friend, is one of those performances that propel you and make personnel departments have to go and reevaluate, who they believe is going to be the mainstay at that position. So you serve notice, my friend, and you should take a bow for that. You look like you were playing like a Cougar. I know, you're a Jet right now, but you're a Cougar. How proud are you of your Cougars as well and how great they're doing in college football?
Hey, it's nice that, get some hype from a guy that's been in my shoes and has, had to get up on Monday night and do the things you have to do. But, heck yeah, man, my students are doing their thing. And I just hope and pray that the college football teams just show us some love. So it's like they don't like going to the club over there because, it's just a church at school. But, man, my guys know how to ball now. So,
well, your guys make a lot of noise. I know this is about you, but I find that, players usually like to talk more about their alma mater than they like to talk about themselves. It kind of puts you in a tough spot to really talk about you, how great you are, how great you played. But do you think they should maybe expand the college football season and expand the field so maybe a non-Power 5 can get an opportunity to maybe play in a tournament and earn their way to that Final Four?
100%, you know, especially with what went on this past year, and with the pandemic and all that. I understand the teams that we have played aren't the highest level of, you know, competition, but man, going 8 in a row, 9 in a row, whatever it is, and winning every game, man, that's tough. There's always a Cinderella story, there's always the underdog story where a team will just nut up at the right time and just win. But, you know, no team has done that against BYU, and I just hope that they can keep it going and get some more, you know, national credit.
When you talk about Cinderella stories, it usually has a star, and the star is usually a great quarterback. You know, with the field being wide open, I know we hear a lot about Trevor Lawrence. We hear a lot about Justin Fields. But, you know, what type of quarterback and what have you seen from Trey Lance? And can he be one of these guys that can move up the board and potentially he'll be one of these first-round steals?
Yeah, 100%. Man, I just believe that that position as a whole has so much responsibility on yourself, and you can go out there and do that over and over and over and over and keep being consistent. You know, that's probably the biggest word that I've learned here in the NFL is, you know, you got to be consistent and you got to do your job consistently. You know, of course, be available and accountable, but consistency is probably the biggest thing that I hear in the league all the time. And for any QB to come out and do what they need to do on a consistent basis, and man, they have a great shot, just like anyone else that has done that also in the past.
Talking with Jets linebacker Harvey Lange, he had 10 tackles in the Monday night game against the Patriots. You actually started your NFL career in New England with the Patriots. That's where you had your first game, your first experience in the NFL. But with the Jets now over these last two seasons, it's a lot of talk about the importance of developing players and bringing players along. Can you give us a little insight on that, like how that's going on behind the scenes? We see the main players, but to keep a guy like you ready so that when a position opens up like it did, when, as Bart mentioned, Avery moves on, he gets traded, you step in and you're ready to go. What's that process like that the fans don't see with players that aren't on the field every single game?
Yeah, you know, and you guys probably understand it. You know, those that have played in this league and played the sport, it's a developing process. We have a very young team, and like you said, you know, I came from the Patriots. I'm a little bit older guy. I took 2 years off in college to go serve a church mission. So, you know, this would be my 6th year in the league, but my 4th year. I was running back all the way to about my junior year in college, so I switched to linebacker. So I've been trying to develop that by going to the Patriots and coming here to the Jets and being a part of a young organization and trying to build a identity for ourselves. It's a process. And, you know, like you said, training guys, developing younger guys, drafting other guys. I always just been, you know, in the back pocket, just working my way on the field, special teams or whatever it was. It was, you know, a heavy package for the run package or whatever it was. I was just waiting for the opportunity to, you know, open up. And whenever it does, you got to be ready for that. I was super excited to get that opportunity. But like you said, a lot of people don't understand the process of building a team and the understanding of how injuries, trades, and all the different things go into it, and different personnel and identity that you want for a team. And, you know, I have 100% faith in Joe Douglas and his squad, and know that whatever situation, what kind of identity they want for the New York Jets, they're working on that and they're building on that, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it.
Oh, as we lost connection, you can see we're all in different places, and I lost contact with Alan. But I wanted to ask you, to me, it sounds like you sound like the game is slowing down for you. You mentioned that you spent 6 years, you know, in college, and, you know, that you're still early in the process, even though your age may not reflect, you know, your years in the league. So it sounds like the game is slowing down for you, and you're starting to get a bigger picture. You know, who were some of the people that contributed to you being able to hold on? Because sometimes when they look at your age and sometimes when you're a special team player, the hardest thing to do is to change the narrative where they don't see you as a special team or a core guy when they start to see you as a guy that could potentially be a star in this league. You know, who were some of the influences that kind of kept you, you know, to learn how to do the little things and how to be a professional? Because I know that when you're that guy that I should say had got one foot on a banana peel, you know, and the other one out the door, you know, a lot of times, you know, you don't get the reps and you don't get the you just have to watch and you're doing the look teams. So who was somebody that kind of pulled you to the side and took you under the wing to show you how to be a pro?
Man, I would say when I got into the league, Kyle Van Noy, Dante Hightower, you know, Nico.
So basically, you're saying we owe the Patriots for your success. Thanks a lot. Well, you just lost us.
Those guys taught me how to be in LA, man. This all craziness right now, but once you understand it, it starts going down. And then when I fight over here to the Jets, of course, J. Mosley, Avery Williams.
See, that's better. That's what I like to hear.
All these guys have been helping me out, so.
Well, it's great to hear. It's great to see that, you know, the success, the hard work, everything else that you've been putting in has started to pay off. And I'm telling you, like I said, we're watching this game and we all were. And it's no offense to you. It's not like we're saying, you know, nobody knows who you are. The point is, it's like you see a number, you see a guy and you're like, whoa, who's that? Haven't seen him. And man, this guy is jumping off the page. That was you. And I'll tell you what, if you do that for the rest of the season, people will know your name and they'll keep talking about you. So good luck, good health, and thanks for joining us, Harvey. Appreciate you.
Put some extra down in the dread so like it makes you look like you're moving faster when it's moving in the wind.
I'm like in that place now where I find things that remind me of the past. Like I love, like, you know, everybody knows that I like just I bathe in nostalgia, like 80s, 90s music, movies, movie lines, all that stuff. Like that's just what I'm about. And I found the car I had in the 90s.
Ooh, I see it.
Now you got it?
Yep.
84 Firebird. T-tops, at 5 point. This thing, man.
Go buy one.
I love this car. It almost killed me. It was my Christine. It was my Eleanor. It almost killed me on the Merritt Parkway one time in a snowstorm.
Oh, rare.
So check this out. My buddy Robbie. I grew up with this dude. Great guy. Salt of the earth. Right? I love him. He's a mechanic, and he had like this gigantic toolbox with like, it was like 100 pounds, and he had nowhere to store it. And you know, in the Firebirds, it has like that deep well back hatch area. And so he would leave it there. I let him leave it there. And the best part is that it weighted down the back of the car. So for me, in bad weather, that car was insane in bad weather. Insane. Like, I always would laugh. Like, man, I could drive this thing in a snowstorm. It's unbelievable. The traction's incredible. Never really thought about why. One time, he's like, oh, yo, I need my toolbox. So he came and got it. He took it out. We had a bad snowstorm. I'm up on the Merritt Parkway, and I hit a patch of ice, and I'm done. Like, I was pretty close. Like, really, honestly, pretty close. I was almost gone. Went into a ditch the whole nine.
Wow.
And I'm like, how? Like, what happened? And then it dawned on me. The damn toolbox wasn't there.
Toolbox.
Had no traction, none. So anyways, that was the end of that car for me. It was gone. I didn't have it. And I miss it ever since. And so, Bart, I'm feeling like, get to that midlife crisis part, and you're a guy that knows his cars.
Yeah.
You're a big swap meet guy, right?
Yeah. We can call Chip Foose.
Can we find the 84 Firebird black T-top?
Bro, that's easy, bro.
We can find that.
I would probably not go to Barrett because Barrett costs too much money.
I'm not loaded like you.
We can go to Meekum. And Meekum, and you'll probably get that thing for about $15,000-$12,000, bro. Straight up. And let somebody else do all the work, because what happens is they do all the work, you never get it back. because of the labor hours that you have to get it back. And then people get tired of it and they lose their value and they sell it.
To get this thing right, too, because, I mean, I don't want to buy this thing in a junk box.
Like, no, you go to Mecum. Mecum is going to look, it's going to be perfect. But what happens is you never get the money that you put back for the labor that you paid for it, right? So you pay all the money, then the person that buys it, when you get tired of it, and they put it in like an 84 Firebird, that's probably going to go for like $12,000-$15,000, but it's going to be perfect. Let's do it. Let's do it. We're going to go out to Indiana.
Like my birthday's coming.
We're going to go to Mecum.
That's nice of you. That'd be a great birthday gift for me, Bar. You're the best.
Huh? No, we're going to lease it.
Let's see. So, a couple of answers I've gotten here so far. Somebody sent me like a little AMC Pacer, which screams confidence. You're very sure of your manhood if you drive an AMC.
Amazing.
Plymouth Sundance, an 87 Plymouth Sundance.
My mom used to have
somebody
one.
Somebody put a VW bus. Remember those old VW buses from back in the 70s?
But those are vintage, though, man. You get one of those redone because of the windows and all the glass. Cost you about $100,000.
So it's on my Twitter right now, the picture of the car that I absolutely just, I miss it like an old car. Another guy put DeLorean.
Ooh, see, I hated those. Those look like a
You know
a
how hard bootleg. It is to get it out of a DeLorean?
Yeah,
I had an i8, you know, the BMWs?
Yeah.
It was impossible to get in out of that thing.
Yeah.
Impossible.
It looks like a Lamborghini. I'm not a Lamborghini guy. It's like really blocky and stuff like that. But I did like the stainless steel. That was dope, though. It was ahead of its time.
Dope,
it was like the Tesla of its time.
The flux capacitor was pretty nice, too. The fact that I could go back in time was nice. Were they all equipped with that, or was that a special package that you got?
Yeah, you had to have the Marty McFlys on, you know, to be able to do that, the laceable shoes.
Maybe. 800-993-7776 is the number. Let's see. Let's grab We in Brooklyn. What's up, We?
We the people.
Yo, what's up, Han? What's up, Bart? Love
you,
show, man. I love y'all dudes, man.
Appreciate it.
Yo, Han, man, you my guy. I've been messing with you since you was solo at nighttime, holding me down at the night.
Sir.
But,
he's in an arranged marriage
this
now.
This is for my guy, Bart Scott, man. It's like a real personal call because you my guy, Bart. I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately, right now, but, you know, on the glory days, 2010, unfortunately, I was out in Pittsburgh, but I was in a penitentiary out there.
Wow.
And when you were talking at the end of that game, man, like you have no idea, my dude, how much that uplifted me, and how much hope y'all. It made me feel like you that was coming to visit me, man. Like it's crazy, man. Like I was thinking about it last week how y'all was talking about how much hope, like, a team could give to a city, like, you know what I'm saying? And how much it could bring people together, man. Like, I was at a real dark place. I was at a real down place, man. But for them few weeks, man, I think y'all ran through Indianapolis, you know what I mean? Ran through Patriots, and y'all came to Pittsburgh, man. And in Pittsburgh, in the cell, you know, like, a little bit over $200, you can get a little, they give you a TV in your cell. Like, it's crazy, man. I know it sounds crazy, but you get the TV in the cell. So I was tuned in, man. And
oh, man, we let you down. Damn it, Shotty, we let him down.
Nah, ain't let me down, man. I mean, the first half, I was a little tight. I was tight, you know what I'm saying? But that might have did me a favor because the way them COs moved in Pittsburgh, man, honestly, if the Jets would have won, I probably would have been in the hole or something, man. Because I was a Jets fan, and I wasn't hiding it. You understand what I'm saying? Like, and they knew I was a Jets fan, but it wasn't really, you know, but it was like competition. Like, at the end of the day, we all people, even though I was where I was. You know, it's just mad love, man. Bart, I respect you, my dude. And, you know, life is short. I always say I'm a call, but life is short, man. I just wanted to give you your flowers while you were alive, man. I appreciate y'all, man.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you giving a call, man. I'm glad that you remind us just the power we have, man, to try and just put a little joy in our lives, man. Because life is short, man, and it's full of ups and downs. And, you know, one thing I love about sports is it brings people together, man. It brings people from every different race, religion, ethnic, you know, economic class. And, you know, we just can sit down and just enjoy our teams, man. And, you know, that's what this is all about. And that's why I love doing radio, because it gives me a platform to be able to connect with people in which I feel like I was a part of their lives, man, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. You know, I hope at this point we can, you know, find something to laugh about. I'm glad that you're out, and I'm hoping, you know, life finds you well right now, man. And I wish you continued success as well.
Yeah, and we want to also hear from you more often, too. Like, we appreciate that call and you taking us into your life a little bit. That's great. And I'll tell you what, I could also see that situation. You remember in Hoosiers where the dad shooter was in the psych ward, and he was going nuts, and they had to tie him up.
Yeah.
Like, you could see something like that. He was just too fired up about that. So that's a great story. I love that, man.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.